Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke, Luke's crazy.
Luke, the force is strong with you.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. Co-host Brian is off this week, but I am joined this afternoon by another host of fine programming on this station, Jason Hafeman. He's going to be with me for the first half hour of today's show. Real quickly before I introduce Jason, I want to let everybody know we do have some breaking news going on here in the state of Wisconsin. We got the state assembly speaker, Robin Voss, is saying that he's extending Michael Gableman's contract beyond today. He had previously said that he was going to be showing up with the moving trucks to Gableman's office, but we'll be diving into that story and more in the bottom half hour. But first, I'm joined by Jason here on these airwaves. Jason, how you doing this afternoon?
Hey, Luke, I am not used to this good of lighting ever.
Right?
So, yeah.
It's a little strange when you're in that seat instead of this seat. It is definitely the natural lighting in the Solidarity Realty Studios is fantastic, and you almost don't want to return to the production booth sometimes if you get a little taste of that.
I think it makes me look younger.
Absolutely it does. And you get the great view of University Avenue, and we're having a lot of fun here in Madison. Folks, you're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM here in the Madison area, as well as the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. And Jason, you do the Saturday morning show here, and you do some production as well, along with being the host of Let's Get Local on Saturday mornings from 11 to noon. And so... I'm really excited to have you on, though, because the buy local movement to me is one of the more important movements that exists. Like there's a lot of different great causes out there, but really investing in the local economy and the buy local movement as a whole is super important. And sometimes it can be glazed over really easily. You forget about it because it's something nice that you hear, but you don't necessarily always see people following through on that buy local atmosphere or talking points. So I wanted to have you on and talk a little bit about the buy local movement, and we're going to plug some events that's going on with Dane Buy Local, which is a great organization that we work with to put on Let's Get Local. They've got an excellent event coming up this whole next week. May 1st through the 7th is Shop Local Week. So I'm going to be plugging that, as well as guests for the show that you host on Saturday. So what's coming up on tap this Saturday for Let's Get Local?
So first, when you were saying all that, I think everybody on the radio could hear me nodding, right? Yes.
Yes.
I'm nodding in agreement, Luke. You're correct on all those fronts. Here's the thing, like the thing you just talked about, the week, the highlight week, that's a jump starter, right? That's to get people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need you to carry it on. We need you to pick up the torch, because local businesses and organizations make huge investments in our community. And on top of that, they're the ones that make us different. They're the ones that give us an identity, that make us unique. Without them, we're just the same as every other place in the country. So why do we want to be like every other place? We don't. So support them. Those people are also your neighbors. They might live down the street from you. So it's incredible. And the other part to it, Luke, is that we'll get to the show in a second. But the other part to it that's so important is that local businesses, as a person who's worked for nonprofits for nearly 20 years, local businesses are always the first ones to say yes when you ask for help, when you ask for support for an event or ask for any type of help. They're always the first ones to say yes.
Yeah, no, and the local movement here in Dane County is really strong, and it's fantastic to see exactly that, the local businesses that say yes, because as a station, Devil Radio here in Madison was just getting started when we joined Dane by Local, but that was right at the
onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, and the resources that Dane by Local provided to the station and allowing us to get the information that we needed, not only with updates about how small businesses could be seeing relief, but also just getting information in general, and the community that was built, although virtual, was really vital in those early days of the pandemic and still now. And so, yeah, it's absolutely the local businesses that are the first ones that say yes. They're extremely helpful. And some people like to think, oh, well, I like to go to the big box store for conveniences. But yeah, exactly. It's a fallacy. It's what it is, Jason. It's not necessarily more convenient. To me, I find it burdensome. I get overwhelmed in the big box stores. I usually end up buying more than I need because I would like go down the wrong aisle and I'm trying to find one thing and it's not a convenience. And I think that there are excellent small businesses out there, and we've got some stories that we're going to highlight with you here from the small businesses that appear on your show and that you work with as you in your role at Dane by Local, to be able to highlight some of those experiences of what shopping local and buying local means to the small businesses in our community.
Yeah, my neck's starting to hurt from all the nodding I'm doing, Luke. You're right. So the thing is, like, the big box stores equal big frustration. Let's just be real about it. Because first of all, let's do a little myth busting here, Luke.
Yeah.
The other big idea that they promote, like, let's look at a place like Walmart. They have the marketing power, okay? And they put this thing out there over and over and over again. And yes, they have lower prices on some items, but they promote like, oh, it's so easy to shop here and we have the lowest prices on everything. False. That is not correct. Actually, they get you to in the door with some of the prices, just like
right. You see the sale item or something like that in the flyer or the big fancy TV commercial spot. And that's it though.
And you'll spend more on items you could have gotten from a local alternative.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is customer service. Like, come on. The local businesses, okay, most of the time, those are actually shop owners
mm-hmm.
that you might meet or people who are heavily invested in that organization, that business. They love it. They're there because they want to be a part of an engaging team and they're part of the community. And you shopping with them, they're going to remember your name. They're going to remember what you bought. If you're a regular customer, it's like Cheers, man. Like, they'll know your name. You might get a theme song.
There you go.
It's awesome stuff, shopping locally. And that's what I love about the show, Let's Get Local. Because for me, like, we can talk about retail. We can talk about restaurants. We can talk about all these wonderful things in our community. And there's all these different industries.
Yeah.
But what I remember and what I identify with are the people and their stories and the passion behind why they became a small business owner in the first place.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite things, tuning in 11 a.m. on Saturday mornings and hearing those stories because, like you said, there's numerous different industries and a variety of different types of small businesses, and not every small business is the same. In fact, every small business is pretty different because it is those individuals that make up those small businesses, and the fact that we have here on an hour every weekend that we get to highlight those stories and to have a fantastic host, I might add, be able to interview those business owners like yourself is a real asset that we have here at the station, and always excited to hear who you have on every weekend. So this weekend, what kind of stories can we look forward to, Jason?
So I appreciate those kind words, Luke. And, you know, one key thing about the show, because I don't do as much soapboxing as I'm doing right now. This is like a unique opportunity for me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
On the show, it's all about the guests. It's all about telling those stories and those people, the value they bring to our community and the work they're doing and the stories behind it. This Saturday, we're going to have a discussion with Legacy Solar Wisconsin Cooperative. Okay, we know the importance of solar. Mm-hmm. We know how much it's picking up. Legacy is doing some great things to allow some of these solar projects, bigger solar projects, all around the state to happen. So we're going to talk with Peter there. And then also one of the other guests we're going to feature is Rowan Childs from Madison Reading Project as they're getting ready for their ready-to-wear events coming up. But also Madison Reading Project, a great local nonprofit. And that's the other part. We feature a lot of nonprofits on the program, and so does Dane by Local have nearly 100 nonprofit members in the membership. So it's a really great synergy between local businesses and local nonprofits.
Yeah, absolutely. Because nonprofits also very vital to making our community our community. And so the work of the nonprofit Dane by Local itself and the nonprofits that are members of Dane by Local, it's always excellent to hear about the work that they're doing in the community, as well as the small businesses that are making Dane County Dane County. But buying local isn't just something that you have to do just in Dane County. It's we're growing our listening audience here on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM as well, and so we're expanding around the state. And this isn't just something that you can do in Dane County. But what I like about Let's Get Local is it allows you to think about the wherever you're listening, the buy local movement that you can participate wherever you are. It's you want to be able to support those businesses and nonprofits that make your community your community. And so it's really excellent to hear that. I'm really excited. I'm going to be checking out a lot of different local stops at Shop Local Week next week. If you want to learn more about that event, go to danebylocal.com. That's danebylocal.com, May 1st through the 7th. It's going to be your local business, our local superheroes. So experience their powers during the Shop Local Week next week, kicking off on Sunday, this upcoming Sunday. So I'm really excited about that, Jason. And we've got a number of other headlines that we're going to get into. But go ahead, Jason.
I want to throw something at you before we hit the break, because I know we're coming up on it. You know, I work here sort of part-time. Anyway, point is, here's a couple things, Luke. Local businesses, I think of ease, their presence, and the customer service as being key things like you mentioned before. Think about all the great, you can go to Starbucks. Think about all the great local coffee shops and cafes and roasters we have right here or all around the state as you're looking at it statewide. The other thing, do you know the company Full Compass, right in our backyard, has a storefront? So if you want to order stuff from Amazon, no. Full Compass has almost all the stuff you can get on Amazon right there, man. And they're another great place to go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's excellent alternatives to what people think may be the quote-unquote more convenient option that are right in their backyard that they just don't know about. So rather than hopping in the car and driving 15 minutes or 20 minutes to the closest big box store, there are better local options. And finding out where those local options are in your community, invest in the small businesses in your community, and makes a way bigger impact on our local communities. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got my friend Jason Hafeman in studio with me here in the Solidarity Realty Studios talking about the Buy Local movement, but we're going to dive into some Wisconsin headlines as well. Taking your calls, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Brian's got this week off, but I am joined now by a fantastic guest, Jason Hafeman, host of Let's Get Local, airs out on these fantastic airwaves every Saturday and Sunday from 11 till noon. And Jason, we were talking there at the end of the last segment, right before we went to break, about the impact of what shopping local can mean to local business owners. So not just you as individuals deciding to take the initiative and go and support local businesses, but what that impact can mean for the business owners.
Yeah, one of my favorites, local shop owners, J&J Gifts and More in Verona.
Mm-hmm.
Drina, wonderful local business owner, and is doing a lot with her company to support local artists as well and senior citizens to keep them active, working on projects and allow them to sell through her store. You know, she was struggling for a while. It was tough. And she just had an order from WPS for like 150 gift boxes.
Oh, wow.
From her.
Yeah.
That she's going to take a lot of time and pride and effort into putting together the special gift boxes for their employees. But that level of business going to her, I mean, they could have done something, you know, big box, Amazon, whatever. What does that mean to them compared to what it means to a local shop owner?
Yeah.
An order that big. And that's, you know, my motto, Luke, is go local, buy local, be local. And that encompasses everything. And it means as an individual, you think that way, but also as a company, Like, if you're going to work on things, you're going to spend money, you're going to get gifts for your employees, you're going to do something like, you're going to spend services or buy services mm-hmm. locally. Look at the local options. Oh, yeah. My goodness, they're amazing.
Well, there's so many, too, and there's a different variety, and there's pretty much whatever you're looking for, there's a local option for it. And so by getting involved with organizations like Dane by Local, you get access to these incredible networks of local businesses trying to boost our local economy, because that's what it is. I mean, we all want to do business together. And so it's when a small business is succeeding in the community, it makes the community better. And so it's definitely fantastic to hear stories like that, because yeah, the impact of 150 gift boxes for Amazon or a big box retailer, is probably not that great. But to a small business owner here in Dane County or anywhere around the state of Wisconsin, it's a game changer. And so being able to support businesses like that is fantastic. And I encourage everyone in the listening audience to go check out the work that Dane by Local, or if you're in another area, find the buy local movement in your area and try to reach out and learn a little bit more about the works that they're doing to promote the local economies.
Yeah, one other quick point, Luke, is that Dane by Local does have a marketplace directory where you can use it as a search engine. Go to danebylocal.com, type in that marketplace directory, and find any type of service, and you know they're a local business because they're through that directory. So their hopes is that will grow in other areas too, and other local communities will do a similar thing. So it's easy for you to find them that way too.
Yeah, no, that is a fantastic resource, and I know that's been something the organization's been working on rolling out, so it's fantastic to hear that is just one more way that you can find out the local businesses in your area and work to support them when you're doing business and not just going about your individual life as well. But Jason, we had you call in yesterday as well. We had a little bit of news with the growing gubernatorial primary, and I know you had shared with Evan, who was on the production board yesterday, that you wanted to kind of squeeze in a story about the 2004 Tim Michaels candidacy. So I wanted to, real quick, before we have you head out today, just if you want to share that story with us.
Yeah, I will. But first, Luke, you could have, you know, I didn't realize yesterday it was going to be the M&M show, Maps and Michaels. But the thing is, when I heard the name, I was like, is that the same guy? Is that really the same
guy?
So I had to look it up.
And well, it's been a while. It was 18 years ago.
Yeah, 18 years ago. So 18 years ago, I'll talk fast. I used to do basketball play-by-play. I can certainly do that. 18 years ago, I was at UW-Eau Claire. I was a community member, but I was in my mid-20s, and there was a debate in town. Russ Feingold was coming, and this new challenger, Tim Michaels, didn't know much about him.
So you got to go to debates like that then. You got to find out about the candidate.
Exactly. And I haven't really been to a debate. It was fun. So we went in there, and it was really enlightening to see how polished and how meaningful and thoughtful Russ Feingold's, comments were, and mm-hmm. how unpolished and how just, basically read what they tell you to read to Michaels was. So, he was a younger guy then. 18 years later, maybe he's better now at delivering his message. But what is the message? And I was thinking, I was like, I remember during that debate, a lot of people laughing at stuff he said, but there were a lot of boos too. And one boo, now gay marriage was a big topic at the time.
In 04, oh yeah.
Russ Feingold played it safe. I was disappointed with him in that one response. He just said he thinks it should be left up to the states. That's all he said about
it. That was a kind of a go-to position for a lot of Democrats around the country when DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, was going around in that time.
But Tim Michaels, he should have left after what he said.
Oh, geez.
So I don't have the exact quote. I tried to find news sources. These were the dark ages, Luke. This was
I was going to say, that was pre-YouTube, that was pre-Facebook, that was pre-Twitter. That was before a lot of the sources that we use now to kind of keep a lot of these public officials and politicians on the record for things.
You're right. So, but I remember him saying marriage should be between a man and a woman. And that, drew some boos.
Oh, yeah.
College campus, dude. Come on, wake up. Secondly, then he extended and went on to say, now this is a paraphrase, I don't have the exact quote, but it was basically, he said, I don't want to see that out in public. They need to keep that in the privacy of their own homes.
Jeez.
So, when, as running for governor, ask him how he feels currently about gay marriage.
Yeah, we'll have to absolutely get him on the record if we have the opportunity. But that's the thing, is some of these politicians, he claims not to be a career politician, but he ran for office 18 years ago. He's been involved in politics for the last 18 years behind the scenes. He hasn't been a candidate himself. But it's interesting to see those positions, because even back then, those are abhorrent positions in my opinion, but the country's move and the state of Wisconsin have moved very far away from those. So glad that you were able to share that story with us, Jason. Really appreciate you stopping by the studios this afternoon. Again, that's Jason Hafeman, host of Let's Get Local, here on Devil Radio and the Shaw at 11 a.m. till noon every Saturday and Sunday. Folks, Dueling Tangents is going to be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this week, as he is off having the time of his life in the happiest place on earth. Brian, if you're listening, turn off the Devil Radio app. Just you, just Brian. And go enjoy Disney World to all of its full extent. But really want to extend a heartfelt thank you to Jason Hafeman, host of Let's Get Local. Join me for the last half hour. Really appreciate Jason and all the insightful work he does sharing the stories of local businesses, nonprofits, and the Buy Local movement here on Devil Radio and the Shaw with Let's Get Local from 11 to noon, but all the also excellent production work that he does for our weekend programming here in the Devil Radio studios, in the Solidarity Realty studios for Devil Radio 92.7 and the weekend programming. But something I alluded to at the beginning of the show, at the top of the hour, we started off the show by mentioning that there was some breaking news going on here in the state of Wisconsin, and I'm going to be getting to your phone calls as well, 844-967-2789. But we got a statement out of the Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's office, released a press release earlier today, and this is the statement on the Office of the Special Counsel. So Madison, Wisconsin. Speaker Robin Voss released the following statement regarding comments made about the Office of Special Counsel. Quote, "Media reports and the statement put out by Representative Branchin were incorrect. The Office of Special Counsel will remain open as we guarantee the legal power of our legislative subpoenas and get through the other lawsuits that have gridlocked this investigation. Continuing on, we are grateful for Justice Gableman's offer to reduce his salary, as well as we are concerned about the judicious use of taxpayer dollars." Comical, and that's my editorialization of this quote. Back to the Voss quote, "Our intention is to remain within the original budget allocated for the investigation." So that is the statement out of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's office earlier today. Previously, Voss had stated that the moving trucks would be coming to Gableman's office, packing up and with anticipation for the Office of the Special Counsel, former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman's review of the 2020 election being packed up today, April 26th. So Voss changing gears a little bit and saying, no, those media reports of my comments earlier are not true. We're going to continue on this investigation as we seek legal action against these subpoenas. So that's what's going on in Voss's world today. But we're going to go and see what's going on in your world. We got our friend Joe in Madison calling in. Joe, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Just to step back to the conversation that you were having in the last half hour, great conversation about local business. And I just wanted to stress another point about local business. It's oftentimes a small business, and small business is the engine of our economy. It is small businesses that grow into the mighty, whether it be Starbucks or whether it be Microsoft or whatever. It is these small businesses that add to the vitality to our economic picture. And though, so it's, yes, it's important that they're local, but it's also important that they're smaller businesses, and they may be tackling something or providing a service or providing an insight into a new product that you just aren't going to get with something that's more hidebound in a bigger business. I'm thinking about the passions that direct somebody to even think about starting a place that specializes in serving coffee. Or the fact that you mentioned that they were going to be looking, interviewing someone in a solar, who's working on solar production, mm-hmm. In one of their coming up episodes. I would bring up just some of the people that have been supporting your business, like Wisconsin Home Goods and their soy candles. That's a great thing, a really different thing to have. Or Kopke's. My understanding is that Mr. Kopke started out with a truck and whatever he could sell from the back of the truck. And he has now grown into a business with 38 greenhouses from last I heard.
Yeah.
That's an enormous growth. And people that he's supporting with this particular action and the insight that he's bringing from his love of plants and how he has grown that into a business and what that provides to our community. So it's the engine of growth. So when you choose to support local, you're supporting it's kind of a bid to the future. You're supporting the next round of business people that may be bringing in all sorts of new talent and ideas and products into our lives, and therefore, man, and it's fun. It's really fun to be sorting out new places and see what they have. So I guess I'd encourage people, make the plunge.
Yeah, absolutely, and we appreciate your call, Joe. I appreciate your call because those are all excellent points. And Gordy is a great friend of the station, great small business owner. I get to see him every Saturday when I'm up on the square. I keep an eye out for the local. They're all local businesses at the farmers market, but I especially like to seek out Gordy because a good friend from the local business that we've done together between Gordy Kopke's greenhouse and the station here, Devil Radio 92.7. And so it's absolutely those relationships that you can build as well. And Gordy has turned, like you said, a small selling plants out of the back of a truck to one of the larger independent greenhouses in the area is a terrific success story. And I always wish Gordy the best, and he's very, very risky time of the year, especially when we have degree changes from 80 degrees on this past Saturday to down in the 30s and 40s as we're experiencing now. It's really strenuous time for small business owners, not just because of the pandemic, because of standard conditions like that, just spring in Wisconsin. And so I encourage everyone, if you're looking for getting your green thumb started, go check out Gordy Kopke down in Dunn, Wisconsin, beautiful Dunn, Wisconsin, just north of Oregon. And you can definitely go check out the greenhouses for yourself and see the great work that Gordy's doing down there. And it is, Joe. It's stories like that and just the connections that you can make by shopping local. We got John Hubertus also texting in. John in Hubertus, excuse me, texting in saying that it sounds like a juggling act, what we're saying. The Starbucks and Amazon are starting to become unionized, so should we support small businesses or union workers? And my response to John is, it's absolutely not a zero-sum game. You definitely don't necessarily need to choose one or the other. You can definitely support both union workers and you can support local small businesses. It doesn't have to be a trade-off where you only do one or this way or the one that way. Like Joe said, it's a lot of fun to experience these local small businesses. And having the variety and the opportunity to go and do business with so many different small businesses is absolutely part of the fun of it. And you can go and have all these different experiences, get to meet these different terrific people. And like Jason said, it's all about the stories that you hear as you're developing the relationships with these small businesses. So appreciate the call, Joe. You can be like Joe. Give me a call, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM here in Madison, as well as the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha. But Brian is off this week, so I'm diving back into the headlines. But we've got that statement earlier from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, his statement on the Office of the Special Counsel. And I want to read one of the parts of the quote again. We are grateful for Justice Gableman's offer to reduce his salary as we are all concerned about the judicious use of taxpayers' dollars. Our intention is to remain within the original budget allocated for the investigation. So Assembly Speaker Robin Voss taking that 8-month paid vacation, 9-month paid vacation, I believe. The assembly wrapped up before the end of 10 months. They wrapped up at the end of February. He hasn't been doing any legislative work since the end of February, but very, very gracious of the state assembly speaker to say that he is concerned about taxpayer dollars here in the state of Wisconsin. So jumping off from Voss's comments, we do have a headline over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Robin Voss extends Michael Gableman's Wisconsin election review after pressure from Donald Trump. Huh. So the statements from Robin Voss today came from some of the statement, came after some of the statements by the former guy yesterday. And diving into the piece written by Molly Beck over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is extending the taxpayer-funded contract of the former Supreme Court Justice leading a review of the 2020 election, a decision announced a day after former President Donald Trump sought to intimidate Voss by threatening a successful primary challenge if the review did not continue. Diving out of the piece real quick, that sounds like the former guy is the center of this party. The GOP is the party of Trump because he is intimidating the Speaker of the State Assembly. The leader of the Republican Party in Wisconsin is being threatened by the former guy from across the country that if he does not continue the only investigation into the 2020 election that is still ongoing. Wisconsin is doing more. Republicans in Wisconsin are doing more to throw the 2020 election into continued doubt than any other state in the nation. And that still is not enough for the former guy to be appeased by the work being done by Voss. Now, diving back into the piece. In a statement Monday that did not name Voss directly, Trump suggested in a statement to his millions of supporters that the Rochester Republican will see a successful primary opponent if he does not extend former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman's contract with the state assembly. Quote, anyone calling themselves a Republican in Wisconsin should support the continued investigation in Wisconsin without interference. So again, that is a quote from Trump. That is what Trump said. And he is saying this about the leader of the Republican Party in the state that is doing more than any other state to continue to doubt the 2020 election. And that is not good enough for the former guy. He wants no interference. No interference with that. Even though Voss is the one that greenlighted it and Gableman has been bumbling for 10 months now to quote unquote restore election integrity, as Gableman has said in the past, without being able to provide any evidence of widespread voter fraud. So, continuing on from Trump's quote, I understand some rhinos have primary challengers in Wisconsin. I'm sure their primary opponents would get a huge bump in the polls if these rhinos interfere, Trump said, using the acronym for Republicans in name only. On Tuesday, Voss issued the statement announcing Gableman's office will remain open as we guarantee the legal power of our legislative subpoenas to get through the other lawsuits that have gridlocked this investigation. So Voss spending the last 10 months allowing Gableman to go on these wild taxpayer-funded adventures to, I believe, North Dakota, Arizona, Utah, Florida, all of these different places to quote-unquote restore integrity to Wisconsin's elections, but that is not good enough. Trump wants Gableman to be able to continue on despite no evidence to this point. Going to the lines, we got Wisco Paul up next. Wisco, what are your thoughts on the continuation of the Gableman investigation?
Well, if I wasn't living this right now, I wouldn't believe it could even be happening, Luke. I said this before. I hope people get behind Tony, because without him, I don't know if this state will be livable, at least for some kind of sane government here. And I don't know how Trump is even relevant with what's going on, but it's just the whole thing is just amazing. So please get behind Tony, because otherwise, I don't know. Well, I do know. We'll have about 2 voting machines in Milwaukee, and probably maybe 4 in Dane County. Thanks, Luke.
Absolutely, Wisco. And I don't know about just 2 voting machines, but they'll definitely have the possibly compromised voting machines from Gableman trying to investigate them in the back of a liposuction clinic in Brookfield or wherever he's conducting his work now, because that is the scary part, Wisco, is if somebody in the Republican Party gets elected to be governor, it seems like there's going to be a pretty quick overhaul of elections here in the state of Wisconsin. And that is a scary thought to think about, because they've done every, Republicans in Wisconsin have done everything they can to undermine our elections since 2020. And it doesn't seem like there's any signs of it stopping, because every time Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says that he plans on wrapping it up, he blows right past that deadline. So I think it's time for all of us to stop taking any deadline that Voss puts out there seriously. But that's just my opinion. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You can give me a call, 844-967-2789. I'm going to be right back. Back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. My co-host and friend Brian is off this week, but I am here to guide you through the Wisconsin headlines, taking your calls, 844-967-2789. Appreciate Wisco Paul's call at the end of that last segment. Yeah, it's troubling times to think of what would happen here in the state of Wisconsin without the current governor. And it seems like Republicans don't necessarily know what they want when it comes to their next nominee to be governor, because we've got that field growing and growing every single week in recent weeks. And so it's going to be really interesting to see these next few months leading up to the gubernatorial election later this year in November, and the primaries in August. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens here in the state of Wisconsin, and we're going to be paying attention to it all because we're following all the different headlines, and I'm going to dive into a little Foxconn update that we got going on here in southeastern Wisconsin. But before I do that, I'm going to have my friend Mark from the SAC join me. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Oh, boy, you just brought that one up, too. I mean, just another burner, a blanket with a Foxconn exec gave us Foxconn. You're getting $125,000 a year job at the UW.
Yeah, but don't worry, Mark. It's a short-term employment. They didn't have to advertise it widely because the appointment is going to apparently be less than 2 years.
Hogwash. So I'll leave it at that.
Sounds about right.
You know, the LTEs when I worked at for the state, they all had to be advertised positions. It couldn't be what they're trying to say about that, but. For Gableman, are all the, you know, that the trips outside of the state are really what gets me. How does that further the investigation into what's going on into Wisconsin by Gableman going all this?
He's got to go to those other states. Mark, he's got to go to those other states to see how they're grifting the state taxpayers in those states to allege that there was voter fraud in 2020, but not actually provide any proof.
And he actually falsified information by saying, well, these nursing homes had this and that, and apparently he compared the numbers, you know, what, 6 months later to the number, you know, to what existed on the day of the election, that as far as the people vote, you know, that if they're eligible to vote or what happened there. I mean, it's just complete and utter nonsense. This guy's allowed to continue. And Robin Voss, you know, that Robin Voss should maybe go to one of Tucker Carlson's clinics and, you know, get his testosterone increased by using the Tucker Carlson-approved method of increasing your testosterone.
I don't want to talk about that one on here, Mark. Come on, man. I'm going to stay away from that one. But, yeah, the fact that Voss is just allowing this, he's the highest-ranking Republican elected official in the state of Wisconsin, so he's the leader of the Republican Party in our state. He is. And the fact that he's being pushed around by some statements coming out of Southern Florida and just being berated into continuing this investigation. I don't know how the media here in Wisconsin is taking it seriously anymore, because he continues to say, oh, well, the election's wrapping up, and then the date that he sets for the election or the review wrap-up to be, He always just finds another reason to kick the can down the curb. And so this is just going to continue on and continue on. And unfortunately, Brian's out this week. Otherwise, he and I probably would have shown up with moving trucks down in Brookfield this afternoon. But the big guy chose to take vacation instead, but well deserved. He's down in Florida, and maybe, you know, we'll find out what the next end date is going to be for this investigation, and Brian and I will show up to that one. But appreciate the call, Mark. Up next, we got Dick in Madison. Dick, what's on your mind today?
Well, Wisco Paul, a couple of weeks ago, I think, or maybe less, he said without Tony, we'd be Indiana North. And I couldn't agree with him more. Former chancellor of the university, John Wiley, years back under the last of Walker, there was an excellent op-ed he wrote that was in Madison Magazine. You ought to go look it up. He's from there originally.
Okay.
And he describes his trip to Wisconsin when he was a young man and just how enlightened he became just by crossing the border into this state.
Yeah.
Indiana, I mean, look who was their governor.
Mike Pence. Yeah. No, so, absolutely.
Take a field trip there and see if you like it, if you really, you know. And I don't think many people from Wisconsin would.
Well,
we're more from that direction.
Let's not pretend like there's not some great people out there as well. I mean, current Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is from Indiana, too. So I'm sure there's plenty of fine people in Indiana. They just need to come together and decide to send better individuals to the state senate or their governor's office, because that's, or the U.S. Senate, excuse me, or their governor's office, because there's a lot of these problems that we're facing here in Wisconsin. I'm sure they're facing in Indiana, and some better leadership would definitely yield better results. And I appreciate the call, Dick, but it's interesting to see what will come of this fall's election. I think yesterday on the show, if you missed any portion of yesterday's show, you can go check out the podcast at devilradio927.com. Click on Dueling Tangents under the podcast tab. And we talked about how some of the reporting here in the state of Wisconsin is talking about, we got articles over at the Wisconsin State Journal saying it would be a stretch for Republicans to be able to achieve a supermajority. And really, it's not going to be that far of a stretch. They're in, baked in the cake with the last three statewide elections, 2016, 18, and 2020. Taking the information from those elections, Republicans would only be three seats off in the state assembly from achieving that supermajority. And so I understand when you use the aggregate model and you're looking at statewide numbers, that would mean it's kind of far off for the Republicans to be able to hit that supermajority. But really, they only need the 53% in three more of those. 51% is all they need in the state assembly districts to be able to flip those ones. And so three state assembly seats off from a supermajority of Republican elected officials in the state legislature in a 50-50 state is pretty insane. But we alluded to it, and I want to get into the headline over at the State Journal. Mark and I mentioned it. Headline, no open search in UW-Madison hiring for job filled by former Foxconn executive. So this morning we found out Kelly Meyerhoff over at the State Journal doing the reporting. UW-Madison did not publicly advertise a newly created position before giving the $125,000 per year post to a former executive with Foxconn, a company that has fallen far short of its promise to build a massive manufacturing plant in Racine County, recently released records show. And so this is the headline. We've got Alan Young over, who had previously worked with Foxconn, quote, instrumental in the dealings with the former Walker administration, bringing the Foxconn deal to Wisconsin. And now he's got a $125,000 annual salary through the College of Engineering at UW-Madison. And I don't know all of the details about how this position came out, but they didn't widely advertise it. It really seems like the College of Engineering created this position for Alan Young. And we're going to find out more details as more records get released about this. But something smells fishy about this story. We're going to keep an eye on it for sure. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Brian is off this week, but I will be joined by some more fantastic guests as the week goes on. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. But up next, we got the Devil's Advocates, so stay tuned.